Good morning again. Welcome to Rockville Christian Church. We're glad you're here to worship with us this morning and study with us. If you're new here, welcome. As always, our prayer is that you'll feel welcomed and loved, and that more than anything, you'll feel the Spirit of God move in and through you today. My name's Kevin. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here and really have the honor and privilege of getting to share with you this morning. This morning, as I said, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, if you want to go ahead and turn there. It's the story of the road to Emmaus. How many of you guys, show of hands, have heard the story of the road to Emmaus? Yeah, a lot of us. For those of you who don't know this story, it takes place after the death of Jesus. And the disciples, there's these two men, they're not a part of the 11, they're more than likely part of the larger 70 disciples, and they're leaving the city. And they're leaving the city of Jerusalem, they're heading home after the Passover weekend and after the death of Jesus. The story that we're going to talk about today, the story in its essence has to do with our discipleship. It's about whether we are really going to follow Jesus. Now, something I want to start off this morning by saying is it doesn't really matter what you say you are. Discipleship is about what you do. It's about who we become in Jesus and what we do with that. So this morning, we're going to be looking at this interaction found in Luke chapter 24, and we're going to walk through it. And the way I want to set it up for us this morning is we're going to talk about two things that will keep you from staying on the road to discipleship, and then we're going to show you two things that you can do to remain on the path of discipleship. Again, because this story, Jesus is walking up to these two men who are traveling home, and he journeys with them, and he begins this conversation with them that has a lot to do with their hearts, and has a lot to do with who Jesus really is. And as we study this story, I hope you can see that there's a resemblance from this story to our story. I think this story from Luke chapter 24, it's crucial for us to understand so that we can make choices whether or not we really want to follow Jesus, or we really just want to come to church ritualistically on Sundays so that we can feel good about ourselves. Something that discipleship doesn't allow. So let's get started. These two men, they're on the road to Emmaus, which is a town that's about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's about a 2-hour trip by walking. These men have just had a highly emotional weekend, and they're heading home. And as they journey on this road, let's be honest, these men, they're disappointed. They're ashamed. They're shattered. They're discouraged. Why? Because this man they've been following for the past 3 years is now dead. This trip home is hard. Things didn't work out the weekend the way they thought they would. Their hopes and expectations were shattered. They have heard the news, however. These men, they have heard the news that the tomb was empty. They are aware that the angels have appeared, that the women have told them that the stone was rolled away, that Jesus' body was not there. They know that the disciples, Peter and John, had ran to the tomb and it had come back, and they told the other disciples the body wasn't there. These men who are now traveling home, they, like I said, they must have been in that group for 70 or so because they know this information. Yet they still go home. They know the information, yet they still go home, and they go home discouraged. The proof was there for these men. You see, the problem is not in the information that these men had. It's not in their heads. It was in their heart. If you take a peek at verse 25 and verse 32 right now, and we are going to jump into this later, but you're going to discover that there isn't intellectual knowledge here that's missing. It's a heart issue. You see, discipleship isn't just about the information we have. It's about the information and how it changes who we are and what we choose to do with that information. You see, these men were looking for a conquering king, not a suffering servant. They wanted a crown, but not a cross, and so these men were discouraged. What do you do when you're discouraged? Today, again, we're going to look at two negative things that will take you off the path of discipleship, as well as two things that will help keep you on the path of discipleship. So let's get started. Two negative things that will take you off the path of discipleship. First, we will never see Jesus for who he is through our own disappointments. We'll never see Jesus for who he is through our own disappointments. Now, if I'm being honest with myself, I believe that most likely everyone in this room has been disappointed in God at some point in their life. God could have done something in my situation because he is all powerful, but he didn't. Why didn't he? He could have stopped someone's pain, but he chose not to. He could have answered a prayer, but he chose not to. What do we do when we're disappointed with God? What do we do when we're discouraged? Let's look at Luke 24, starting in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. I want you to hold on to verse 16. We're going to come back to it. Verse 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." A little bit of context here, guys. Greg talked about this a couple weeks ago, but people in that day, when they would travel from town to town, they would do so by walking in groups from town to town, because with numbers came protection, came safety. With numbers meant that they were less likely to be mugged or assaulted. So these men, they're traveling down this road, and Jesus joins up with them. And he eavesdrops on the conversation, and he interjects himself into this conversation. He knows who they are, but these two men, they don't recognize him. Jesus goes, "What are you guys talking about?" And they respond with, "Don't you know what has taken place?" And Jesus says, "No, what?" And so they begin to have this conversation. Now, you have to understand, these men, last week in this context, were crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And by the end of the week, they see Jesus executed. These men thought that Jesus was coming in as the Messiah, but he goes out as just another dead man that Rome has crushed in their sights. These men here are frustrated. They're upset. They're discouraged. Why? Because these men are living their lives as if there's no resurrection. They believe they only got one lap in this thing called life. You see, these men were living their life as if there's no resurrection. And Jesus is talking to them about that, because if death would have been the end of Jesus, then death would have been the end of them. And so they're upset and they're discouraged, and there's no hope in that. And some of us in this room are living as if there's no resurrection. I love verse 18 when what Cleopas says. And if you'll allow me to paraphrase it, he says, "Where have you been?" Some of us are discouraged in this room right now because our real question to God is, "Where have you been? Why did I lose my marriage? Why did my children rebel? Why did I lose my job?" Listen, you can be discouraged. It's okay to be discouraged. There is no sin in being honest with where you're at. And if you want to know the truth, then I'm going to tell you this. If you want to know how to be discouraged and not sin, then read the Psalms. Brad showed us that this morning. Because when you read the Psalms, they are constantly asking God, "Where are you? Why didn't you? Why did you allow this?" There's this constant engagement with God. And this is, in my opinion, one of the best parts of our relationship with God. That we are in constant relationship with him, and he doesn't look down at us and point a finger at us and go, "How dare you ask these questions?" But rather, he says, "You want to know the answers? I'll give you the answers. You might not like the answers, but I'm always working good, even when it doesn't appear good." You see, it's okay for us to be disappointed when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, but let's not allow our disappointments to impugn God. We don't have to fake it and just be angry and upset and disappointed with God. Let's journey with him and discover with him. The second thing that will take us off the path of discipleship is we will never see Jesus for who he is through our ignorance. Now, I don't want to make too much of this, but I struggled with what word to use here because Jesus, he's not calling these men stupid. He's, in essence, calling them ignorant. But ignorance has this harsh connotation to it. So what is ignorance? Ignorance is having available information and not accessing it. It's having the facts in front of you, but you are unaware of them, or you choose to ignore them. So one of the things that will prevent us from following Jesus fully is when we choose to remain ignorant at what God intends to do all along. Let's jump back into the text, start in verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, in the third day since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. So let's think about this a minute, okay? These two men, they have eyewitness testimony that the tomb was empty. That angels have appeared and said that Jesus was alive. And yet these men still didn't believe. They had the information, they didn't have the faith. And the reason they didn't have the faith was because they were ignorant. What were they ignorant of? They were ignorant of all the scriptures that said what God was going to do. They didn't understand what God was doing, and so they become discouraged and they just leave. They go home, they walk home. They didn't stay with the other disciples, they just went back home to their lives because of ignorance. They didn't see Jesus, so they struggled. Look at verse 25 and 26 with me. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" That's a profound question that Jesus just asked these men. Isn't what happened in Jerusalem that week exactly what the scripture said would happen, church? Is it? Didn't God tell Adam and Eve that he would send an offspring of yours that would crush the serpent's head and he himself would be bitten? Didn't the prophets tell that Jesus would suffer for the nation and redeem it? Was not all of these things in the scriptures? You see, we live in a day right now, and it's not original just with my generation. I'm sure it is with a lot of yours as well. But it surprises me that people say that the Old Testament doesn't really matter, that it's not relevant. But what I want you to understand is, what did Jesus do with these men who were discouraged and ready to walk away? What'd he do? What? He took them back to the scriptures. And the scriptures for them were what? The Old Testament. Listen. You cannot fully understand what Jesus does in the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible, God has been building the same meta-narrative of how God is going to redeem us. And so Jesus walks these men back to the beginning of Scripture. God said he would, he did. 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 Over and over and over again. And church, listen, Jesus is the he did. And all of a sudden, these men's ignorance changes. And what's interesting about this is these men didn't know they needed to be redeemed. And if I'm guessing right, there's many of us in this room that don't know we need to be redeemed. Let me explain. When you and I think about the word redemption, we automatically jump to the theological Christian post-resurrection redemption for our sins. Let me put that a little bit more simple. When we think about redemption, we think about Jesus died for us so that we are free from our sins and we can be saved and go to heaven, right? These two men that Jesus is talking to would not have thought about that. For them to be redeemed meant that their slavery would have ended, that their grasp of Rome would have ended from these Jews. And Cleopas is saying to Jesus, "We thought the Messiah would free us." And Jesus says, "I did." And they are saying, "But yeah, that's not what we wanted." If I could simplify it for you, Cleopas thought the only problem he had in his life was his circumstances. He thought that Jesus would change his circumstances, and as a pastor, I know so many people who just want Jesus to fix their circumstance. They want Jesus to fix their marriage. They want Jesus to help them get a better job. They want Jesus to give them a break. And listen, church, I think Jesus is capable of doing all of those things. In fact, probably a lot of us in this room have had moments where Jesus has changed our circumstances. Praise the Lord. But that's not what Jesus came to do primarily. He didn't come to redeem us from our circumstances. He came to redeem us from ourselves. Jesus didn't come to make our lives easier. He came to change our hearts, to break us free from our addiction, to break us free from our selfishness, to help us see that there's a kingdom out there that he is building and that's beautiful and that's glorious. And it's not just about slaving for a king. It's actually about being in love and enjoying God's presence. Jump back to the story with me. These men thought that he was changing their that he was going to change their circumstances, but what Jesus was really going to do was change their hearts. So two things in review really quickly that will take us off the path of discipleship. When you're disappointed in God and you fake it, you harbor discouragement against God, and you don't communicate to him, And two, you remain ignorant about what God has intended to do all along. Listen, you see, there's this whole concept that we've bought into. And it's more Western, it's more American than you can imagine. This whole thought that heaven is way up there and earth is way down here and you and I are just to suck it up until God comes back and then he's going to bring us up there. Do you know that's not going to happen? Do you know that the scriptures never talk about God taking us? In fact, God has been compressing the distance between heaven and earth every day through Jesus Christ so that heaven is touching earth through the kingdom of God. And when he builds a new heaven and earth, it won't be a new place. It'll be here. He will take it all the way back to the beauty that we had in creation. You see, these are the type of things that we're ignorant of. And Jesus is trying to change our ignorance by revealing the kingdom of God, that it's right now present to every single one of us, that we don't have to wait to die to be the kingdom of God. We can be the kingdom of God right here and right now. We can stay on the path of discipleship now. So what do we have to do to stay on the path? There are two things I want to talk about here to help us stay on the path. First is we can see Jesus for who he is through the testimony of his word. Now, it shouldn't surprise any of you that when you come to church, the pastor tells you to read your Bible, right? In fact, I'm telling you, it's necessary. It's not just important, it's necessary. Look at verses 27 and 28 with me. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they are going, Jesus continued on as if they were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went and stayed with them. Again, just a little bit of context here to help us out. What would happen in those days is they would go from town to town, again, in large groups for protection and for safety. And as they got close to dark, the town that they were closest to would offer hospitality. There was no Quality Inns, there was no hotels, there was no motels. In Park County's case, there was no bed and breakfasts, right, Tom? Nope, okay. So when visitors came to your town, you would just open your home up to them and you'd give them a safe place to sleep. You would feed them. And the next day, they would just go on their journey. It's kind of a pay-it-forward type thing. You would do it for somebody, and they would do it for you eventually. It's just how their culture operated. So in today's story, Jesus says that he's going to go on to the next town, even though it's getting dark. And these two men, they're like, "No, it's dark, it's unsafe, stay with us." After all, these men have been enjoying the conversation, talking about the scripture. On this journey, Jesus has been breaking down the scriptures to them over and over again. In church, what do the scriptures point to? What do the scriptures point to? Jesus. Hey, that was a good answer. Over and over again on this journey, Jesus was revealing the word of God through the words of God. Listen, I'm going to say that again. Jesus was revealing the word of God through the words of God. And now they're having this meal. Look at verse 30 and 31 with me. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So they're having this meal. Jesus breaks the bread. He hands them a chunk, and all of a sudden, these men are like, "Wow, this whole time it was you. Thursday at the Last Supper, Saturday when you died, it's him." They recognized him, but they didn't just recognize him. They recognized that he was the bread of life. It wasn't just that Jesus broke the bread in the same way that he did that past Thursday night at the Last Supper. It's when he broke the bread and they understood that the breaking of bread and what it meant. The cross, the manna coming down from heaven, all the imagery from the Old Testament. Jesus broke the bread and they were like, "Oh my gosh, I've never seen that before." And then he's gone. Why'd he leave? Why'd he disappear? Because Jesus is showing them that Jesus is showing them that his physical presence wasn't the thing. What he did was the thing. That he was alive. That he was the Passover lamb. That he was the bread of life. The manna from heaven. He was the promised Messiah. And when these men understood that, everything changed. You see, when you open up the word of God, you see what God is doing. And you understand the narrative of what God is accomplishing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus becomes alive to you. Rather than just a ritualistic thing we do on Sundays. That you want more of him. But more often than not, we don't know how to get there. Which leads me to my second point. The second thing that will help us stay on the path of discipleship is we can see Jesus for who he is through the prompting of the Spirit's presence. Now, there's probably some people in this room that feel uncomfortable with that statement, and you shouldn't. This is not something mystical. This is God's promise toward us. Look at verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? Just a quick pause. I want to pause here, and I'd like you guys to do a little testifying here this morning. I'm just really curious. How many of you guys have ever had a moment where you've heard a preacher preaching, or in a small group Bible study, or a Wednesday night class, or listened to a podcast, or maybe in your own private Bible study, ever had a moment where you've read a passage 5, 10, 15, 20 times, and you didn't get anything, but on the 21st time you opened it up and God was like, here you go. How many of you ever had a moment like that? Why didn't you guys get it the first 20 times? Because you weren't ready. God said you weren't ready. Do you remember back in verse 16 where it said the apostles couldn't recognize Jesus? Why? Because they weren't ready. They weren't ready yet. They still had a journey with Jesus, talk through the scriptures, be taught a lesson by Jesus. And in that moment, a beautiful thing happens. These men are prompted by the Spirit. And now they're ready. These men realize that this was Jesus, and now Jesus is gone. And we know it's dark because we studied that. It said that they offered to stay. It was getting dark, and that they offered this Jesus a meal. They're about 2 hours away from Jerusalem, so what do? They are prompted by the Spirit. They abandon safety. They abandon their home, and they go back to the holy city, and they find the disciples, and they have a conversation. Look at verse 33 through 35. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what has happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Listen, church, they went from factual understanding to faithful belief. And that's what a disciple does. You go from factual understanding to faithful belief, allowing it to change you and who you are. You see, there are some of us in the room today who are disappointed with Jesus and you're upset. You prayed for someone's health. You prayed for a rebellious child. You prayed for God to reveal himself and nothing happened. You're disappointed and discouraged. Listen, do not walk off the path of discipleship. Keep following. He will reveal himself to you in the way you most need it. Some of us in this room are ignorant. We're ignorant of the scriptures and we're wanting Jesus to be something that he never intended to be. We want him to fix our circumstances, but he never promised to do that. He did, however, promise to make us whole. He promised even in our suffering to be with us. And sometimes God's greatest gift to us isn't to change our circumstance, but rather to be with us in that circumstance. There are some of us in this room who can say, yep, I could have preached that sermon. My faith became real when the Word of God became a search for the presence of God in my life and he began to speak, and God does speak. He speaks through the Word. He speaks through community. He is talking through nature. Beautiful things are happening all around us. And this morning I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to walk in discipleship. There are people here this morning who are saying, I want that. Maybe for the very first time in your life you're saying, I want that. I want to feel connected to God. I want to feel connected to Jesus. I don't want to live off the preacher's faith. I don't want to live off the church's faith. I don't want to live off my mom and dad's faith. I want my own faith. You can do this. If you're willing, you can do this. And God will meet you where you're at. God will be with you in those moments. He will walk with you in those moments, sometimes silently, sometimes speaking boldly. There's an opportunity for every single one of us, an opportunity for someone who does not believe to someone who's been a believer longer than I have been alive. There's hope for every single one of us. God wants to meet you where you are, and he will guide you. He wants to deliver you, and yes, he wants to redeem you. This morning, if you desire that depth, if you want someone to pray with you, to set up a time to talk with one of us, one of the staff, an elder, a leader, this morning we invite you to make your decision. Just know that we are here for you as a church, that we are here for you as a community because we love you. Please don't leave here saying, yeah, I want that, but I don't know. Step out on the path of discipleship. God will meet you where you are at, in faith and in truth. And in spirit. Stand and sing as you make your decisions.